Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
When we do something in the will of God, as a servants of God, then we're doing it for the Lord's sake.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Continuing our study of how to be hope-filled in hurtful times, Pastor shares with us a message from 1 Peter chapter 2 called Pressing On When Ripped Off.
We as Christians are not of this world. We're in this world, but not of this world. And that is such a comforting message to those that as Christians at times do get taken advantage of, do get ripped off, do end up having events happen to them that are unfair, unjust. And this is why Peter wrote the whole epistle, as short as it is, to remind them, listen, there is hope. In hurting times, there is hope. We walk through these topics, and it leads us to today, I think, a very familiar passage in many of these, but in the context of it, it is transcultural, it's trans-country, it is trans-dispensational in its time, in its message, it's so important. The reality is that there was a message to be given that was so important. What was it? Let me give to you what I would put this text in, basically motivations that Peter was saying to these people. This is what needs to motivate you to live in a world that you live in. And unless that motive is right, you're not going to end up finding what Peter's wanting them to find. These are the motivations. You find it, first of all, very simply, that he was suggesting and stating very clearly from verse 11 and 12 that you need to be able to be in a place to submit for the benefit of the lost. Look what he says here in verse 11 and 12, and he basically gives four of these pictures. Notice, if you would, the ways in which we relate to the lost. Verse 11 and 12, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation." You know what he's saying? Listen, you know what motivated Peter and what should motivate us is to live in the sense of knowing that I'm submitting for the benefit of the lost. This term submission you find throughout the scriptures, but particularly Peter uses this term multiple times. Fact is, a bigger picture view of this is when he says you need to be submissive to multiple authorities in your life. He mentions the government, we're going to mention in a minute. He mentions the area of marriage. He mentions the area of the church. And he mentions the area also of employers. And he says, if you're going to end up being successful, you can't go into life with a protest mentality. I'm going to get my picket signs and I'm going to end up fighting against everything that shouldn't be. And you find some people with an attitude of life that way. And if they don't like it, they're going to speak up and say it and make sure you know it. And Peter here is saying, let me give you a perspective and let me help you understand that a real motive, one would be you learn to submit and you learn to submit and benefit for the lost people. Notice what he says in verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. The Gentiles has nothing to do with the race. It's a synonym for the unsaved people. And you live honest, or the idea of beauty. You live beautifully in a very ugly world. And that beauty is what's going to draw people to say, you are different than this ugly, sin-filled world that I live in. How can you maintain that beauty in your spirit? Don't be surprised that people are going to speak bad about you. But notice what Peter says is that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, that they may be and seeing your good works. And those good works is what God's going to use in that beauty of your good works for people to be drawn to Christ. And this is how Peter says it. They're going to behold. They're going to see that. They're going to glorify God in the day of visitation. What does that mean? Glorify God in the day of visitation? it might mean that someday when Christ comes back in the visitation, that they're going to glorify God by saying, I saw these Christians, and that is all true. I think what Peter's meaning is that they're going to glorify God in the day of salvation, the day of that visitation, when they get saved. They're going to end up seeing you as a Christian that lived beautifully in an ugly world and come back to you and say, because of your good works, you made a difference, and that's why I came to Christ. How many of you are Christians and you can look to somebody that you saw such a change in their life and their life is what drew you to the initial interest in the gospel? Absolutely. This is what Peter's saying, and he's trying to motivate these believers in difficult times to get them to a place to realize that, listen, you need to be in a place to submit for the benefit of the lost. Then he says, secondly, this is another motivation. Not only that, but in addition to that, you submit, but do that on the benefit or behalf of the Lord. You do it for the Lord's sake. Do you see what he says there? He says it in verses 13 through verse 17 when he makes the statement for the Lord's sake in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. He's saying, listen, on behalf of the Lord, you be in a place for the Lord's sake. You live this way. You do what? You fight, you stand up for your own rights because you're right and they don't have any right to do that to you, and you're going to step up and you're going to end up. Now, hang on a minute. What Peter says, listen, he uses the term submit. He uses the same term, look in verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters. He uses the same idea in chapter 3, verse 1, be in subjection to your own husbands. Fact is, Ephesians 5 says, submit yourselves one to another. On a military term, it's the idea of people getting in line. On a non-military term, it's the idea of somebody that is willingly, voluntarily putting themselves under someone else's authority. You say, well, man, I mean, you know, come on, how far do you go? Do you become a doormat? I don't think that's what Peter's saying. Fact is, when you read this text, you very simply look in verse 13. He says, you do this for the Lord's sake to every ordinance. The very idea of ordinance is the simple idea. You're advertising God's virtue, or it's the creation or the institution of human government. And here's Peter identifying to Christians saying, okay, how do I relate to the own government that we're dealing with? He says, listen, he names the offices of the king, which meant the emperor, or we would have the idea of president or premier. Peter didn't criticize the Roman government or suggest it to be overthrown. One author said it this way, God's church has been able to live and grow in all kinds of political systems. The governors are those under the supreme authority who administer the laws and execute justice. And very simply, he's saying, listen, your relationship to this government should be one in which to do this for the praise of them that do well. And he underlies the idea in verse 15, this is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And very simply, he's using the idea of will of God and the servants of God, that when we do something in the will of God as a servants of God, then we're doing it for the Lord's sake. And when you do that, you put to silence, literally you muzzle, as though the pagan critics were like a pack of yelping, snapping dogs. He's saying you put to silence them by virtue of your life and your submission. And so as Christian citizens, we're in a place to be able to make a difference by having your life different. And this was so radical statements by an apostle who was the guy that was constantly stepping up and speaking out. And he's now saying, listen, don't end up doing this. Verse 16, you're free, but not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Don't do this with the idea that actually it's just this veiled freedom you have in Christ so you can mask the freedom and cover what really is wickedness and doing things that are constantly contrary to what God wants you to do. He says, don't do that. He's saying ultimately in verse 17, he summarizes this. He says, listen, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. He wanted to make sure you got it very clear. Now I'm going to tell you on a personal level and on your level where you and I live today, our world today technologically is so far advanced compared to Peter's. Peter didn't have to worry about email, Gmail, Hotmail. It was just females were the only ones that he had to work with. I'm kidding, girls. Okay, it's going on. Here's the point. Here's Peter who's writing a letter, okay? It didn't happen when you push the word send. Boom. Okay, there's events that are happening in other parts of the Roman world Peter didn't know about. Eventually, it got to him. We know that by virtue of reading the Bible. But you have to understand, you be careful in the technology that we have so instant access that you be careful about the information that comes your way. I'm finding on a personal, I can only handle so much of people that are actually speaking in a context of what's right in the freedom we have, in our case, for Americans, the freedom that we have. There's freedom of speech. Thank God for it. You're free to be able to say whatever you want to say. But today with the technology, man, I can click on about any portal I want and into finding anybody that says whatever I want to hear them say. There are particular conservative newscasts out there that are not bad in the information they're giving, but you can only handle so much of that before you know what happens. And I put in my own notes, take it like black pepper on the meal. Be careful how much you put in the dosage. The awareness can slip into discontent and eventually a worldview of doom and gloom. And pretty soon, you know who becomes our enemy? Our government becomes our enemy. And the reality is the government is not our enemy. Hey, the fact is we have missed it dramatically in the last couple hundred years in our own government. And Peter's saying, listen, you respect them. You submit for the Lord's sake. One author said it this way, we aren't called as Christians to save a civilization from wreckage, but to save the wreckage of a life from its civilization. As Christians, we're called to give the gospel, the good news to people. Find yourselves in a place to be careful about the sadness that might be there as far as where our government is, but we're not called into changing a whole government. Abraham Lincoln certainly had it right when he said, quote, America will never be destroyed from the outside. And if we falter and lose our freedoms, it'll be because we destroy ourselves. I think he's right. Teddy Roosevelt had it the same way. Quote, the things that'll destroy America are prosperity at any price, peace at any price, safety first instead of duty first, the love of soft living, and the get-rich-quick theory of life, unquote. He's right about that. Fact is, Thomas Jefferson had it right. Quote, my reading of history convinces me that most bad government results from too much government. Unquote. I agree to that. Totally. But you and I as Christians are in a place to realize that if we're going to make a difference, we're in a place to say, I'm still going to submit to God-given authority. Peter never rallied the troops of slaves to say, let's stand up and revolt against this bad, wicked Roman government. Never. So how do we end up handling this? If you have the freedom in our government, as we do still, to be able to speak up, to say what's right for the morality of our country and the spiritual condition of our country, all the freedom in the world, we have the freedom to do so. How do I end up fleshing all of this out? Realize that God's sovereignty is going to play out and He wants to use you as a part of it. But there's got to be a motivation to understand I'm going to do the benefit of the lost and I'm going to do it on the behalf of the Lord.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.